fifth principle is called attract to yourself what you desire. And the affirmation for this is, the divine creative power within me brings to me all that I want with happiness, love, and peace. The key word here is attract. Attract to yourself that which you desire. What you desire desires you, or what you want wants you. And it's really coming to understand that there is an energy that will bring things to you, that will have things begin to show up. And this is not to say that you just put out your manifestation desire and then just sit around and wait for some huge magnet in the sky to just turn on and be facing towards you and have everything just go, shh, there it is. There's an element of working with this divine universal force that is everywhere and a part of this divine essence. It is a divine creation. As you become more tuned into this divine consciousness, you begin to see that that there's really a spiritual solution to every problem in your life. That the things that don't seem to be working, the problems that you may have, whatever they are, in relationships, in finances, in healing, and so on, that there is, yes, there is a solution in the physical plane that requires you to get up and do certain kinds of things and act in certain ways. But in back of that action is a thought. And the same force or the same power that moves waves to particles, which is the act of creation, also moves your pictures or your thoughts into the world of form. The same intelligence, the same energy that moves a star across the sky moves a thought across your mind. This energy, this attractiveness, this attraction, this pull towards you and realignment of your intention with divine purpose is something that we can't measure in the physical world the way we would like to be able to measure it, the way we can measure ohms and watts and so on when we're talking about electricity. Nevertheless, it is exactly the very same power, and the power that allows for anything to go from wave to particle also is behind your ability to think, and therefore your ability to picture, and your ability to decide what it is that you do desire. There is something inside of you that allows you to desire something. It isn't the desire I'm talking about. I'm talking about that which gives birth to it, that which allows it to be. The analogy here is when you begin to take care of your body in a certain way and to treat it well, to give it plenty of water, to avoid toxins, to give it the rest that it needs, to nourish it with the proper vitamins and minerals, to give it the proper amount of exercise, to do the things that show that you are respectful of this garage that is housing your soul, it becomes automatic. It isn't any longer something that you have to struggle with, that you have to work on, and that you have to think about all the time. You go to automatic. It's a lot like writing also, and creating, and painting, and music. You know, when Picasso was interviewed about his painting, and they asked him, how do you paint? He said, when I go into the studio, I leave my body and my mind at the door, the way the Muslims leave their shoes before they enter the mosque. And I just allow my spirit into that world. The spirit, this soul, this force that I have talked so much about in this whole entire program, is really a power of love that you feel in your heart. It isn't something that you process with your mind. But when you understand it and know that it is an energy that is working, that brings things into the world, into your world, realigns you, if you will, with what it is you'd like to create or have for yourself, you begin to cooperate. See, this divine intelligence will cooperate with you. But again, only if you feel that you're worthy, and only if you know that you and it are connected. The minute you sense any sense of separation, it shuts off. The minute you place an obstacle there, it will shut off. I'll give an example of how this energy works in overcoming some of the things that are struggles for most people in our lives. Most of us have addictions of one kind or another. Almost everyone suffers from some form of addiction. And when I say addiction, I'm talking about something that seems to have more power or control over us than we would like if things were to be perfect. So for some, it's sugar. For some, it's alcohol. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's food. For some, it's approval. You know, needing to be a part of the tribe. What will they think? Remember, the mantra of the tribe. In terms of understanding this as a power and as an energy, I would like you to think of back to the room that I talked about earlier. And your back is against the wall, and everything to the right, even though we know that it's all one, spirit, God is in everything, okay? But for purposes of seeing it here, and listening to it here, we go back to the room, and everything on the right represents the physical world. Now let's look at an addiction, something that owns us. There are three aspects to an addiction. It's going to be an addiction to money. It's going to be an addiction to power, also anything at all. For many in our culture, it is to drugs and to alcohol, a problem that we are going to have to resolve, not with legislation, but with a new spiritual awareness. The only thing that ever has seemed to work for getting people off of addictions is AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, which has as its base spirituality, God, finding the solution to that which controls you in something other than that which is external to you, finding it within yourself. And I speak from experience. Today I am a camel. A camel is an animal that starts his day out on his knees, and it ends its day on its knees, and it can go 24 hours without a drink. And there was a time when I didn't and I couldn't. And I played around with substances. And I played around with alcohol. And I drank it every day. Not enormous amounts. Never in serious trouble like DUIs and things like that. But just so that it was just a part of my daily life. And then I found as my life and my work moved more into a spiritual dimension, that it became less and less important to me. And I found that I was able to sort of notice it and observe it and no longer be attached to it. So that if you look at an addiction from everything to the right-hand side of your room in the physical plane, there are three aspects of it, all of which are in the physical domain. There is the craving, there is the craver, and there is that which is craved. And all of those are on the right-hand side of the room. The craver is the person, the body. The craving is the thought, the image. I want that, I need that, I must have that. It's different from the craver. And that which is craved, which is external to me. The cocaine, the marijuana, the drugs, the sugar, the hot fudge sundae, the whatever it is. And it's all in the physical domain. And as long as you stay here in the physical domain and try to deal with it and get rid of it in your life, you are still trapped because you haven't gone to your source. The source is the way you transcend the duality of the physical plane. And so when you go to your source and go to the left-hand side of the room and become your source and now become the witness and observe that and just notice it and just put your attention on it and just watch it with love, which I'll be talking about in the next principle, and just observe it from a perspective of, I am connected to that, it is me, I have become it, and I can also transcend it and go beyond it by just putting my attention on a new aspect of myself, which is pure. And so from the position of the source or the sorcerer, you just watch it, and it's not you. you're free from it. You are just noticing, oh, there goes Wayne again. Going to have another beer. And he thinks he really must have this and all. But from the perspective of the witness, of the observer over here, you are pure love, because that's what God is. That's what the higher part of you is, just pure unconditional love. And you direct that energy to that aspect of you which has allowed itself to be addicted. And it disappears. When I left those things behind many, many years ago in my life, it was as the result of saying and hearing a voice. And the voice said, you've tried everything else. Now try me. And when I went there and truly went there, and then began my manifestation meditation on that, it was gone. And now today, I can look at those things that I used to crave, those cravings. I can look at the craver and all that is craved, and I can laugh at it. When Siddhartha, who was Buddha as a young man, was going through his experiences of learning about enlightenment as a young man, he was fasting for a great period of time. And his friend's name was Govinda. And Govinda and Siddhartha traveled all over the countryside. Siddhartha had been a prince, and he had never known anything about suffering. And he left when he found out that there was such a thing as suffering out there in the world. And he wanted to find out how to transcend suffering, how to go beyond it. And when he was fasting, and had been fasting for some 50 days, and his friend Govinda looked at him and he said, Siddhartha, he said, what good is fasting? And Siddhartha looked back at him and said, Govinda, I can laugh at hunger. Do you know how profound a statement that is? I can laugh at hunger. What he was saying is, there is that which is hungry. There is hunger. But I, the I that is God, the I that is connected to the divine, perfect, loving source, can look at that and laugh at it. I am no longer that. And therefore, it is just in the physical domain. But who I am is something much greater and much grander than that. That's the power of attraction. You can attract purity to your life. It's why I put such an emphasis on drinking water for healing. It's interesting that when the kahunas talk about this God force, they always equate it with water. Water flows, water goes here, water has no boundaries. This energy is always thought of as water-like. I spend a lot of time in Hawaii. I spoke with several of the kahunas who had descended from a long line of healers. And I talked to them about healing. And how it works. And how come some people have this ability to heal and other people don't? And they explained it to me like this, very intriguing. They said that the life force is really electrical in nature, or water-like in nature, only water we can see. Electrical still flows the same way, only we just can't see it with our eyes. And this one great kahuna said to me, he said, being able to heal is nothing more than having an energy within you that is stronger than the energy of the person who believes they can't. All you have to do is have that energy be stronger than that. And he said, between your thoughts and any place on your body that you feel needs to be healed, like an ache or a pain or a disease or a boil or a headache or a backache or a cut or just a plain disease process of some kind, that is located in a specific place in your body and you know where it is. He said, between your thought and that place in your body, there's a current. And the current is like an electrical current. And he's writing, I was writing this down. It was so fascinating. And he said, that current has charges. And these charges travel along that current. And between your thought and that place on your body, you can place what they call shadowy substances that will heal that sepsis or that disease or that pain. And the way that it works is that what you place along that current is your will. And your will is in the form of thoughts. And this energy that I'm talking about, this power of attraction, is really the power of your ability to think. It is your thoughts, which are not in the physical world. I mean, you can't get a hold of them. It is the power that you have to think. It is that power. And you can harness that power and place it along, according to these healers, you can place it along this current in the form of these shadowy substances or waves, and you can literally visualize or picture it going from your thought to that place. And you just keep that current filled with the will of healing. And that's, he said, is how it works. And I must say that, you know, some people have given me a lot more credit and so on than I believe that I personally deserve in this area of healing and so on. But when somebody comes to me whose belief in me is stronger than their own disbelief in themselves, I find I can help them. It isn't me, Wayne Dyer, this physical body that is here. It's this energy of knowing that healing is possible and that it's in every one of us. And that healing energy is something that all of us have. And that by putting your hands on or just convincing somebody or just letting them know that I have such a strong belief in you that you can be healed, that that has a tendency to transcend the negativity that is the disease process. And that it isn't some magical faith healing kind of thing at all. I mean, if you read the work of Bernie Siegel, and if you read Deepak Chopra, and you read Dean Ornish, and many of these people, medical people, who are talking about the mind-body connection, they're really talking about a strong sense of connecting to the chi, or the prana, which is just the energies. It's just another word for that energy, for that God force. And knowing that it's in you to be able to put along this current, this healing capacity. And kahunas did this, and that's how they worked, as he explained it to me. Now, there's a whole lot of training and so on that goes with it, but I find it very intriguing when I think about this word attraction and being able to attract and this concept of energy. There was a poem by a Sufi poet. His name is Rumi. He lived 1,000 years ago in what is today Afghanistan. Rumi had a poem that really reflects what I'm talking about here. It's called The Seed Market. I'd like to share it with you as we talk about this energy. He says, can you find another market like this? Where, with one rose, you can buy hundreds of rose gardens? Where, for one seed, you get a whole wilderness? For one weak breath, the divine wind? You've been fearful of being absorbed in the ground or drawn up by the air. Now your water bead lets go and drops into the ocean where it came from. It no longer has the form it had, but it's still water. The essence is the same. This giving up is not a repenting, it's a deep honoring of yourself. When the ocean comes to you as a lover, marry at once, quickly, for God's sake. Don't postpone it. Existence has no better gift. No amount of searching will find this. A perfect falcon, for no reason, has landed on your shoulder and become yours. So this force, this healing energy, this invisible attraction that we want to use to bring something into our lives is the same power that you have that allows you to process exactly what I'm saying right this minute. It's almost like you have to do a somersault into the unimaginable. You have to think of yourself as not only having a physical body, but as having an energy body as well. If you take your arm and you stick it out in front of you straight, you'll see there's about however long your arms are, there's that much distance between your trunk and how far out your hand extends. And you move that hand above you and behind you and all around you, that distance is an energy body that is always with you. And the sorcerers talk about this energy body as being something that is assembled around you. And this is a foreign concept to all of you cookie thieves out there. It's a foreign concept. I can hear you out there listening in your car saying, wait a second, what is he? Is he flipped out? What is he talking about, an energy body? And yet, when you begin to see that this energy body, if someone gets too close to you, if someone is talking to you and they stay about here, you're pretty comfortable, aren't you? It's okay if I stay about an arm's length away. But if I get in here, and if I get in here and begin talking to you, there's a discomfort. And this discomfort is not because you're so fragile, but because the energy body of yours has been broken. The boundary has been broken. And that boundary, according to the kahunas, that invisible energy that surrounds you, the great teachers, the teachers of Castaneda and people like that, Don Juan Matus and the Nagual Julian, these people talked about an assemblage point of energy, that this energy is assembled around you. And where it is assembled around you determines your agreement with reality. And in order to shift your agreement with reality, which is what I'm asking you to do in this program, to shift your agreement with a reality that says, I don't have this divine capacity. I can't tap into that energy. It's not within me. It's out there someplace. It is not me. And as you begin to tap into this, you learn how to shift this assemblage point of energy. And when you can shift that assemblage point somewhere in back of you, when you can just shift it, your perception shifts. It's very much like what happens when you're in a dream. And everything is just as crystal clear as it could be in this dream. You might be composing. You might be writing something. You might be giving a talk. Who knows what it is that you're doing? But it's just every word just seems to flow and you just seem to be in harmony. You might be flying. It might be just a perfect moment. And then you wake up and you can't recapture it. And you think, gee, I can only do that when I'm sleeping. But I want to tell you that if you learn to tap into this energy body, and that's what this meditation does. When you learn the manifesting meditation, what happens is you shift the assemblage point of energy in your body and in your life. And you do a somersault into what was previously the unimaginable. And what happens is that you begin to see yourself as someone who has much greater power than you ever thought you had before. Someone who can do things that you've been told you can't do. Someone who can be in more than one place, perhaps, at the same time, like you are when you're in your dream. Someone who can change shape, like you do when you're in your dream. Someone who can be young or old. Don Juan, in his training, in his early training, Don Juan Matus, in his earliest training, had to dress as a woman for 2 years and disguise himself as a woman and never, ever be found out. If he was ever found out, he had to start the 2 years over. Just to prove that he had the capacity to disguise himself, just to have that energy of being able to be male or female, to know that that's not something that's separate from you, but that you have that. This ability to have someone come at you that you don't want to see you and to make yourself invisible to them through the use of your energy body. These are all things that we think, oh, come on, we can't do that. Where are you coming off with that stuff? You're cookie thieves. Because you're stuck in believing there's only one dimension of reality, and it is the reality that your senses process and perceive. And you don't understand yet that there are other dimensions of reality, and you can at least peer into them. And if you want to do more than just peer into them, you can wander into them. Your life here is like being in one room in a house that has 1,000 rooms, and you show up in this one room called daily awareness, and you live in this room. The door opens at your conception and it closes at your death. And you live in this room and you try to figure out a way into the other 999 rooms that constitute potential human awareness. But you can't get in them. because you're always pushing and pushing and pushing on the walls and looking for an exit out of this dimension that's out there. Somehow this pushing process doesn't work, and you just keep pushing against these walls. And then you have the insight, the awareness, and you step back, and finally you realize that the doorway out of the limitations of daily awareness opens inward. You step back, and you allow the door to open, and you walk right through. And as you walk through, you begin to see the ability to manifest, the ability to manage the coincidences of your life, the ability to place your attention on prosperity, on healing, on unconditional love, on kindness, on divine relationships. And you see that energy not just as something that is static and stagnant, but as something that is alive and flowing and moving and connecting everything to everything. It is said that when a butterfly just moves its wings off the coast of the United States, it flutters the breezes and the leaves on the islands of Japan. The connection is that subtle. There is nothing that separates you from that divine source except your belief that you are separate from it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
This is the end of side 7. Please fast forward the tape to the end to cue up side 8 for your listening.